All right, tonight we're going to talk about singing. Why do we sing? And the question is, you could take this two ways, especially in a Church of Christ, right? You think about the sort of baggage that goes along with this question. This is not a lesson about instruments or lack thereof, as in, why do we only sing? That's not the point of this lesson. This lesson is in the positive, why do we sing at all? Why does God want us to sing? What's the point of our singing? What are we hoping to accomplish by singing? The benefits thereof and the positive reasons why we do it in the first place. This is not about why we don't have instruments. Because I think we can sometimes focus so much on what we don't do that we forget there are reasons why we do what we're actually doing, right? As opposed to just what we're not doing. So, number one, we're going to hit, I got a number, quite a few of these we're going to get to tonight. Of course, the first thing, obviously, the first reason we sing is praise God. This should be the most, I don't know, self-evident, maybe not evident in the self, but most obvious one, perhaps, we sing to praise. Psalm 18, 1 through 3. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. That we'll come back to in just a minute. And I am saved from my enemies. Now, what he's doing at the beginning of this, before the first one, two, three, four lines here, he's just listing good things about God, right? That's all he's doing here. He just lists a bunch of awesome stuff about God. You know how it is when people say awesome stuff about you. And you know how it is to feel complimented and when people say nice things about you. This is what we're doing, one of the fundamental things we're doing when we sing. We're just putting them to music, right? But fundamentally, our worship and our singing should, that last line there, be giving something God, giving something to God that he is worthy of. God who is worthy to be praised. Why is he worthy to be praised? Because all the stuff that David listed. And we list other things. We think about other things when we sing our songs. Things that make God worthy of praise. The things that he's done. Ultimately, the first thing we're doing why we sing is to give him praise. Romans 15, 8 through 11. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness. In order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. And again, it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. Three times, Paul references various writings about what? Part of the reason Christ came. One of the main reasons Christ came was that more people would be able to praise God. More people would be singing to him. More people would be glorifying is the synonym we use here, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Before it was just the Jews, right, to circumcise. That's what's in the text. Before it was just the circumcised who were praising God. Now, because of Christ, all of us, well, hopefully. We'll talk about that a little bit more as we go through. So the first reason. Obvious reason. We sing to praise God. Second thing, we sing to encourage one another. This is a reason that we sing. 1 Corinthians 14, 13 through 17, and then we'll start 26 at the end here. Now, Paul, in the context of 1 Corinthians 14, is talking about spiritual gifts, right? In chapter 12 and chapter 13, he talks about love and then spiritual gifts in 14. And he's talking about how we use these gifts in a group setting. And towards the end of chapter 14, he talks about the corporate assembly when we're together. And let's read some of this. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? You may be giving thanks well enough, and here's the key point here, but the other person is not being built up. Now, in the context here of chapter 14, you think, what does this have to do with singing? In the context, of course, he's talking about tongues specifically, and the idea of tongues being that it was some unusual thing that nobody could understand, which is why he says at the beginning, right, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he can interpret. Why? So that other people will understand too, because what's the point of the corporate assembly? One of the main points of the corporate assembly is to build one another up. That's what he says there at the end. Now, the last verse, verse 26. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation, but let all things be done for building up. This idea of edifying. Some of your versions, if you have, you're looking at your Bible, some versions might have, let all things be done for edification. That we are encouraging and supporting and building up one another by what we're doing here. And part of that is in the singing. Do you like to sing alone? Now, maybe you like to sing in the shower because the acoustics are so good. But you come to the building, nobody wants to sing a solo, right? It's more encouraging when we're singing together. And I would suggest that it's probably more encouraging to sing together even versus when we sing at home. You could sing at home, you could worship at home, but I suspect that it's more encouraging to do so with other Christians, people who are building up one another in, and what do we see here? In my mind as well as my spirit. That's why we have the words up here, right? We're not just all singing our own thing, we're all singing the same thing. We're all together, unified in what we're doing. Now, connected to that, the third reason we sing is to teach. Most of what Gideon and Gwen know comes from songs. Just is what it is. Maybe most of what you know comes from songs. I don't know. Think about the songs. And it's hard to do this consciously, right? Maybe we don't think about it consciously. But how many songs do you think you've memorized? Even just the first verse. I don't know. Probably. See, even it's hard to even gauge. It might even be hundreds. Songs you have memorized that you could just sing. The content in those songs, if we're singing biblical songs, songs that are teaching truth, we talked about this last Sunday morning, that's knowledge that you have that's just in your head now because we sing it. And this is, of course, a biblical idea. 1 Corinthians 16, 8 through 10. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. When we're singing, a lot of the times, there's a couple of different categories of songs, right? One of the categories is the praise song, where we're singing directly to God. But even when we're singing directly to God, we're probably listing things that he's done. That's what David did in the psalm that we read, right? He just started listing the things that God had done. Well, what is that doing? That's telling all the people that are singing with us the things that God has done. Telling his wondrous works. Now, sometimes we sing, and the tense of the I don't know the grammar term for it, but we're not saying you and I, or we're not saying I and you and speaking directly to God. Sometimes we have songs that are about things, about the Lord's Supper, or about something that God has done. Again, we're teaching, learning, memorizing the things that God has done. And I think it's probably easier to memorize things when there's music attached. That's why we teach our children with songs. We understand that. Ephesians 5, 17 through 21. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, but for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's interesting, it says that we're addressing one another with our psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Because what does the writer here say? Tell of his wondrous works. Well, who am I telling? In some way, I'm telling God. When I tell God his wondrous works, that's praise. When I tell you his wondrous works, that's teaching. The fourth thing, a thing that maybe I think sort of goes under the radar sometimes in our singing, and this is not just singing in worship, but the act of singing in humanity is to express and process emotion. Why we are attached to certain songs and not others is because of what they evoke in our heart and spirit, right? Some of the words, either it maybe makes us feel a particular way, feel joyful in a particular way. Maybe the music is inspiring, or a song expresses a deep emotion that we have that we don't quite know how to put into words. So we sing these songs that other people wrote who are more poetic than us, who have figured out how to phrase things in a way that really speaks to some deep part of our experience. James 5:13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing. Singing is an extension of our experience as humans, which is why humans have been singing as long as we've been around. I don't know when Adam made up the first song, but it probably didn't take very long. And you can look at archaeology and the historical record, and there's records dating back thousands and thousands of years of people getting together to sing because it spoke to them deeply. And so why would our experience, why would we not share that with God in song? The whole book of Lamentations is basically a sad book, a lot of which could be put to music because it's in that poetic language. Some of the Psalms are very somber, very sad at times, because songs can run the spectrum of human emotion, right? It's not just happy songs, but songs that are speaking to some of our experience that we want to share with God and tell him about. Mark 14:22 through 27, this is one of the more interesting things about singing in the Bible to me. As they were eating, he took bread. Of course, this is the Last Supper, right? He took bread, and after blessing it, he broke and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." He took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank. And he said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in the kingdom of God." And at this point, what does he know? I'm going to die. That's why he says that, right? I'm not going to drink it again until after, until I ascend, until after my death. He knows what's about to happen. And so what do? Then they go and sing a hymn. After they had sung a hymn, they went out to said to them, "You will be written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." Not only does Jesus know that he's about to die, he knows that they're all about to leave him. Do you think he felt happy when he was singing the song? He's singing this song right in the middle of this. Do you think that was a joyful experience for him? Maybe it was. But we know what he's about to say in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He's about to sweat drops of blood. He's about to cry out to God that if any way this could not happen, let this not happen. I imagine the singing was a very emotional experience for him in the midst of this last night together. Number five. Connected to this, these sort of go together, right? We sing to draw close to God. I do wonder how Jesus felt as he's singing that hymn. He gets done telling them about the Last Supper, right? I'm not going to eat or drink of this again until after. And then he tells them, "You're all going to leave me." And in the midst of that, he has this song and he's singing this hymn. And I really wish I knew what the hymn was. I wish I knew what they sang. As he takes one more time to praise his Father. It's kind of interesting to think about. Jesus singing a hymn to the Father, right? Drawing close to God, as we do when we sing. Colossians 3:15 through 17. "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." This is very similar to the Ephesians passage. "To which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." It's a couple of things about this passage. Keep dropping. There's some screws that fell out of here that I keep dropping. Now they're gone. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart." If the peace of Christ is living in my heart, it's ruling me, it is one of the preeminent things that I have in my soul, hopefully that will come out in my singing. And hopefully my singing will be an extension of that peace. Why am I thanking God constantly? So many times he says to thank God, right? And be thankful, and with thankfulness in your hearts to God, whatever you do in the name of the Lord, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God for him. I sing because it's one of the ways I know feel done. And the things that I'm singing are going to be an outpouring, hopefully, of what's in my heart. And so I'm admonishing one another. I'm talking about to you guys some things in my singing. And I'm ultimately expressing to God the things that I'm feeling. That's how I'm, one of the ways that I'm drawing close to Him. Not the only way, but one of the primary ways. Acts 16, 25 through 26, we've talked about this recently in our Sunday morning class. About midnight, Paul and Silas were singing, praying and singing hymns to God. This is while they're in jail. They're in prison, they're in stocks, they're in the inner prison, not just in the regular prison, they're in the super prison. And what are they doing in there? They're not moping, they're not complaining, they're not whining. They're praying and singing. Now, let's return for a minute. I said there are several kinds of songs. There's the kind of song that is a direct praise to God. There's the kind of song where it's about a sort of a third person telling of a story or an event. There's also a prayer song, a song that is a direct prayer to God. We have a number of these in our songbook. A song where we're either asking God for something or saying something to God. Because songs in a very real sense, should be a communication directly to God. Now here they're praying and singing, and it's not just them and God, because we got the other prisoners, right? The other prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were open. Everyone's bonds were unfastened. I don't have the rest of it there, but we know what happens, right? The prisoners do not escape, and the Philippian jailer comes up and says, "What do I need to do to be saved?" Well, how did he know that they knew anything about that? Because they were singing. And they were saying that out loud. We sing, ultimately, the last one, because it pleases God. And we know this because he told us. One of the tenets, the fundamental pillars of the faith, is the idea that we are going to let God tell us what he wants. Right? As opposed to presuming to know better than God, right? We have all of the scriptures that God has given us. He's told us a lot of things that he wants. He's told us things he doesn't want. But we're letting God tell us how he wants to be worshiped. And singing is part of that. God wants us to sing. Hebrews 13, 12 through 16. So Jesus suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. What's that talking about? Our Sunday morning Bible class this morning, about if there's suffering that needs to happen because of our faith, right? We're going to bear that with Jesus. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, that is through Jesus, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. As opposed to the sacrifices of the Old Testament, right? Not offering a bull or a goat or a lamb. I'm offering a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of lips. It's coming from my mouth. That acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and share what you have with for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And we see the duality here, right? We see the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of the fruit of the lips, and then we see the sacrifice of our life. The action and the words. Part of that sacrifice that we offer to him is singing. Part of it's praying. But when we offer the fruit of our lips, it tells us right here, such sacrifices are pleasing to God. God, who is all-knowing, all-loving, infinite, has the right to say how he wants to be worshipped, right? That's his right, his prerogative, his creator. We don't get to determine that for him. He gets to tell us what he wants because he made us. And he has told us that the fruit of lips pleases him. So we sing because we know it pleases him and makes him happy. And we go back to the original, the first one. He's worthy of that, right? He's worthy of it. Amen? You can say amen to that, because he is. Why do you sing? As we conclude the lesson, this has to be something we are introspective about, something we examine ourselves about. You come and you sing. Maybe you don't sing. Maybe you just sit there and don't sing. Why are you here? Why are you here? If not to praise the being that gave you life, to praise the one who saved you. Why do you sing? I hope it's these reasons that we've listed and not some bad reasons that we could think of because I have to, I'm obligated. I come and sing because people will look at me weird if I don't, because I'll get in trouble at home. I remember my dad, he really did. If he noticed we weren't singing, we got in trouble. Well, that's good, I guess, because it taught me to sing. But I needed to move beyond that, right? To these reasons that we've listed here. Singing to God is a privilege. It's a blessing that we get to have this relationship, this deity that's not far off, that wants us to draw close to him. And we do that in song.